I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me as we look into God's Word. Today, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read a few verses there. Do you know we're living in a world where a human life has become a cheap commodity? It's become effortless to throw human life away before it ever appears in our world through abortion. And it's becoming easier to discard those individuals who are seen as worthless, as no use to society, and thus a drain on society. But even in our own country, not only are abortions, the murdering of innocent human beings, taking place, we're also witnessing the ever easier, so-called painless, no-suffering, end-of-life ritual of injecting into a person drugs that family members are told is the right and humane thing to do. After all, the family is told by the medical professionals, we want to make your loved one as comfortable as possible in the short time left. Or the family is told about the person whose life is drawing to a close because of Alzheimer's or just plain old age. They're told, well, they've lived a long, good life. Let them go without suffering. Well, might I say that the kind word that these so-called angels give to the family is simply a smokescreen as to what is actually about to take place. These so-called angels are angels, all right. They are actually angels of death. Just before the person is injected with the final dose of drugs that will send them off into eternity, the words from these angels of death are words that simply mask what is really taking place. That's the killing of a beloved husband, wife, son, daughter, father, mother, or so forth. I believe that one of the biggest mistakes people make, and this is in my opinion, is to sign a DNR. This is a do not resuscitate form that lets the hospital or doctor off the hook. When it comes to keeping a person alive after an accident or something else that could possibly be seen as it is a person's time to go incident. The DNR is nothing more than a plain outright refusal on the part of hospitals, doctors, and nurses to uphold what used to be what a doctor promised by taking the Hippocratic Oath. Now, the Hippocratic Oath is a doctor's promise to uphold medical standards. It's an oath traditionally taken by newly graduated physicians to observe the ethical standards of their profession, specifically to seek to preserve life. Good people believe they are doing good when they sign a DNR, when in reality it gives permission to doctors and hospital staff to do nothing to help the individual stay alive. I'm here to tell you that there is one and only one who has the right to say when a person is to leave this world, and that person is God Himself. Anything man does to speed up death is murder, according to the Bible. I would like for us to see what God has to say about human life. I think His perspective should be considered as we think about matters such as the right to live, the right to die, abortion, and euthanasia. This is taking the life of the elderly. In fact, not only should God's perspective be considered, it should be the final word in these matters. Look with me at life from the biblical perspective, and so many people have gotten away from this. I would like for us to look at human life as seen in the Bible. First, I see that God is the creator of everything. Every human is a spatial being, according to the Bible. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28 says this, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, it says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you'll see in a few moments the importance of that. One of the primary truths that come from these verses is the fact that man is the product of God's creative power and not the result of random evolution. Man did not evolve from a single-celled organism over the space of millions of years. He is the special creation of God. You'll notice that each of God's creation were spoken into existence by the Word of God, except for man. Man was formed by God out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed life into the nostrils of man. The fact that God singled man out for special care in the creation lets us know that there is a vast difference between humans and the rest of God's creation. Here is one of the greatest dangers in the entire system of evolution, as it is taught to our children in public schools. If people can be convinced that mankind is nothing more than the product of random selection, then human life loses all its value. You see, if man simply evolved, then he is no different than a dog or a cat. You kill him and he simply ceases to exist. But there is no God, say the evolutionists. Man does not have a soul or a spirit that live on, they also say. There is no heaven to be gained or a hell to be shunned. Man is nothing more than an animal, and he can be eliminated if it becomes necessary. And this is the way evolutionists see things. Well, those who hold to this view of things believe that man should live until his quality of life is over, then he should be put out of his misery. Today, whether you realize it or not, babies, brain-damaged people, the mentally and physically challenged, as well as the old and infirm, are being targeted for elimination. That is exactly what our world is right now. It's where it's at. One day, many doctors, so-called health professionals, and yes, those who tell families they are going to help their loved one leave this life with peace and dignity, those people are going to stand before the all-righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give an account of their life and actions. And prayerfully, they will get saved before the judgment takes place. And notice this with me. Every human is a spiritual being. And we're told in the Bible that man was made in the image of God. This does not mean that man looks like God or that God has a body like we do. It does mean that man was created like God in that man is what is called a tripartite being. In the Godhead, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tripartite. This actually means three in one. In a man, there is the body, the soul, and the spirit. God is a three-part being. Man is a three-part being. God has intellect, will, and emotions. So does mankind. Every person who ever comes into this world has three parts. Even that little baby who is aborted by an ungodly doctor or so-called health professional, that little baby has three parts. Well, the body. The body is the vehicle with which we move through and interact with our world. It's the body that provides a home for the soul and the spirit while we are in this world. Both humans and animals have bodies. When we die, our bodies return to the earth. According to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, and Job chapter 34 and verse 15. That's the body. Next, we see the soul. Well, the soul is the seed of the will, the character, the intellect, the thoughts, and the emotions. The soul is where we reason, love, hate, and want, and so forth. The soul is what we refer to when we speak of the mind. Your soul animates your body and allows you to interact with your world and with other people. In short, your soul is that part of you that makes you what you are. Your soul makes you self-conscious. And there is a sense in which it can be said the animals have souls, and that is, they have life without them and or within them, and they are self-conscious and able to interact with the world around them. But animals are lacking a very important part, a spirit. the spirit. Here is where the similarities between man and animals end forever. While the soul makes us self-conscious, the spirit allows us to be God-conscious. Every man that is born into this world is born dead spiritually, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says in that verse, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's dead spiritually. But when the Spirit of God comes by and quickens or brings to life the spirit which is within a man, that person will find his spirit reaching out in faith toward God. Well, after salvation, the new spirit of life within a person begins to transform the soul part of a man. And these changes within the spirit and the soul demonstrate themselves in the action of the body. Well, the result is a changed life. All of that is complicated. But think of it like this. The soul and the spirit are similar in the manner in which they are used in the spiritual life of the believer. They are different in their reference. The soul is man's horizontal view with the world. The spirit is man's vertical view with God. In other words, it looks up to God. It is important to understand only the spirit refers to man's walk with God. The soul refers to man's walk in the world. When we leave this world, the soul and spirit return to God to be dealt with accordingly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 says this, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return into God who gave it." Note this, the redeemed go to glory. 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." As long as we are here in the body, this verse is teaching us, we are not with the Lord. When we leave this body, we will be with the Lord, if we have trusted Jesus as our Savior. Well, the redeemed go to glory, but the lost go to hell. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him," that's Jesus, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The fact is that man is the spatial creation of God. He was made in the image of God and has the capacity to know God. The Bible proves that man is God's spatial creation and that our Lord loves everyone on this earth. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Have you trusted him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If not, trust him today. Ask him to come into your heart, and he'll save you.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly, is our prayer.